So I had a little second thing planned just in case things went long. So I just thought, you know, I would just share maybe a 10-minute Devo on fathers. Is that okay if we do that this morning? Then we'll get ourselves to the picnic because we're going to get hungry. If I start preaching a long message, it might not go well. I just want to read from 1 Corinthians 4. It's one of my favorite passages on the topic of fathering. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So yeah, Kevin, I won't need that PowerPoint. I want to start by saying that for me in the role of a pastor, my greatest ambition isn't that I would be some great spiritual leader, because I don't believe that spiritual leadership is about a methodology. Scriptures really talk about spiritual leadership being about the Father heart of God, and God wanting to reflect his Father heart to us. So my greatest ambition, if I was to reflect on it, would be that God would give me a father's heart. That I would reflect that in leadership, and that as a spiritual family, that we would reflect that to one another, that we would be fathers and mothers in one another's lives. And that really shines through in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 9, where Paul talks about the apostles who really carried that father heart to the early church. He says, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere, in every church. Lord, we ask that you would apply your word to our hearts today, that you would sow it in good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. I was lucky enough as a boy to grow up in the home with a dad who was a godly man. I consider that just a profound privilege. My dad loved the Lord. He made that love known in my household. He was a man of integrity. And in so many ways, I look up to my dad, and I want to be like my dad in so many ways. And but you know what? The fathering that I experienced in life didn't just stop in my home. God was faithful throughout my life to bring into my life spiritual fathers beyond my earthly father. And I also count that a deep privilege. Now, one of those fathers we've already honored today, Jake. Jake was would never have said that he was a spiritual father. You know, he was kind of humble like that. He wasn't one to toot his own horn, which probably qualified him to be a spiritual father, right? Because he just loved people and loved people well. And Jake never presumed to be my spiritual father, but when I look back at the short time I had with him, the number of years that God blessed me just to come into leadership here and build relationship with Jake. Jake actually provided a real soft landing for me. I'd never been a lead pastor before, and Jake was the chairman of the board when I came here. And when I look back, I think, wow, that was a soft landing, because I had so much to learn. And Jake just made that such a beautiful transition for me, along with the other elders. He demonstrated kindness, gentleness, true compassion and humility in spiritual leadership. He was an example to me. He also showed me that it was okay to wrestle. It was okay to wrestle with God. It was okay to ask hard questions. It was okay to struggle. And he wrestled really well. And I don't think it was an accident that Jake passed away on Father's Day a year ago. I think that was an exclamation point on his life. It was saying, this, folks, is a father you need to remember. This is what it means to be a spiritual father. And so I often remember Jake in that light as a spiritual father. Paul, when he writes this passage, his words are this: even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Spiritual fathers are rare, right? He said, you have 10,000 guardians. There's lots of people who want positions of leadership, right? There's lots of ambition for leadership. There's lots of ambition for upfront roles. But there's not a lot of ambition for fathering, spiritual fathering. What Paul was talking about, we might need to understand a little bit. This word guardian in the NIV translates to the Greek word paidagogos, which means a tutor. In those days, in the time that this was written in the Greek world, fathers weren't really connected to their children so much, right? Greek men had children, and then they would hire tutors or male nannies, so to speak, and they were responsible for the upbringing, the education of those children, especially their heirs, their male childs. They had these paid tutors, and that's what he was talking about. These paidagogos, these guardians, were responsible for the children, but these guardians weren't necessarily invested as fathers. They had positions that they were paid for, but they didn't act in the way that a father might act. They had maybe a job to do, a position to fill, but fathering is not fulfilling a position. It's not just going through the motions of educating your children and making sure that they sort of know what life is going to be like and be equipped for life. It's not a heartless position. Rather, a father, Paul describes what fathering's really like, and he uses the apostles as his example. He talks about kind of what a father is like, and he talks about the apostles in that light. In verse 9, as he says, for it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display, not at the front of the parade, but where? At the end of the procession. The role of spiritual father is a role that doesn't go up front and say, hey, look at me. It's a role that accepts the role to be at the end of the procession. In other words, as a spiritual father, if you want to lead, you have to expect that you're not going to get the attention, right? In fact, you're going to want to elevate others. That's the role of a spiritual father, lifting others up. If you could say it simply, it would be the higher you want to go in spiritual leadership, the lower you got to go, right? Spiritual fatherhood is not a glory-getting role. No, the apostles, the spiritual fathers of the early church, were like men condemned to die in the arena. They were made fools for Christ, so that others might be wise in Christ. They were weak so that others might be strong. They were dishonored so that others might be honored. They went hungry and thirsty and in rags so that others might be provided for. This is the spirit of a spiritual father. To go without so that others might experience abundance. Working hard with their hands so that they might benefit others. Being willing to be cursed and still blessing. Being persecuted and yet enduring it. Being slandered and answering kindly. Becoming the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. I don't know. Anybody want to sign up for spiritual fatherhood? Sounds like quite an attractive role. See, the problem was that the Corinthians really valued power. They wanted the upfront roles. They wanted the glitz and the glamour. They wanted the powerful speaker. They wanted the eloquent speech. And Paul was saying, you know what? The spirit of a spiritual father, the heart of a spiritual father, isn't in being entertained, having the great ministry with the amazing preacher and all kinds of glitz and glamour surrounding things. The heart of a spiritual father is someone who serves. Somebody who lays down their life so that others might be lifted up. That's the heart of a spiritual father. In verse 17, he says this, "For this reason," first in verse 16, "therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord." So what does Paul do with the Corinthian church in order for them to get a sense of spiritual fatherhood? He sends them his spiritual son, right? And then he says, imitate me. Look at his life and you'll get to know who I am. And this is one of the dynamics of spiritual leadership, is we become like our father, right? We adopt the characteristics of our spiritual fathers. And what are those spiritual characteristics? Well, he says that Timothy, whom he loves, is faithful in the Lord. The number one top quality of a spiritual father is faithfulness. Faithfulness. I think that probably describes every spiritual father I've known. If there was nothing else to say about them, they were faithful. My own dad, faithful. My grandfather, faithful. Jake, and that was the predominant quality of every spiritual father. What I would say to my own sons is, if you want to know what being a man and a spiritual father is about, look at those examples of faithfulness. I believe that God is calling all of us as men to become spiritual fathers. That's a call not just for spiritual leaders in the church, for pastors and elders, but that's a call on every man, that we would be willing to lay down our lives, because we're all called into that discipling role. So wherever you are at as a man or as a young man, my encouragement this morning is to cultivate the qualities of a spiritual father. Faithfulness, laying down your life, being willing to go last so that others might go first, being the first to say, I'll serve, being willing to do the dirty job, loving those who are unloved, being an advocate for the weak. One of my favorite Jake memories Esther often reflects on was when we had a street person here one day, not the kind of guy that you would often think would enjoy being with a baby. And Jake took little Jacob and went to this man and just knelt before him. And it was such a deep connection that happened between them. And Jake had a heart for the broken and the lost. And he definitely expressed that father heart of God. So men, can I ask that you'd stand? Just boys and men, stand up. I want to pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for our men. And I want to thank you for the call on each of their lives to be spiritual fathers in this world. Lord, I want to pray for the qualities that you want in us. We want to ask, Lord, that you would deepen our love for those around us, for our own households. Lord, I want to ask that you would fill us with a deeper desire to serve, to be faithful in our households, Lord, to work hard with our hands, to sow generously into the lives of those around us. Father, I pray that you would call us to be willing to be at the end of the line instead of at the front of the line. Lord, make us willing to be the last one to get the benefit rather than the first one. Lord, help us to demonstrate true spiritual leadership to the next generation, both in our homes and outside of our homes. And above all, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with just a fresh love for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. Have a seat. I'm going to release you. Actually, let's all stand together. I'm going to release you with a blessing, and we're going to head over to the park. So may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace.